And good evening. It is Intuitive Soul Radio with your host, Lori Houston, Intuitive Souls, clearing a path to divine consciousness. And although a little bit late, we have our first guest, which is Lucy Beal. And Lucy is America's Optimist Coach. So Lucy, tell us a little bit. Well, first, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. It's wonderful to be here. Better late than never. Right?
Absolutely.
That's what a true optimist would say.
There you go. Yeah. So tell us a little bit how you got on this journey that you're on.
Well, you know, I've always considered myself an optimistic person, and it's something that definitely runs through my blood. However, I will say that when I reached a point in my own midlife, I found a place of extreme discontent where my optimism was challenged to the core, the very core. And I had to reassess. I had to immerse myself in a new self-awareness, a new personal awakening, if you would like to call it that. And so I knew that I couldn't be alone in this place that I was, this feeling stuck at a crossroads. And so from my education and my experience, I knew that women in midlife, especially, stand at a crossroads and ask those questions of who am I and what does my life mean? And that's really what I was staring down. And so the more I found out about optimism and women in midlife and this whole huge picture of what that means and what that encompasses and how it can be healing and beneficial for women and men at this stage. And when I say midlife, I'm really referring to ages 35 to 65. That's the time span, and it's one of the long, it is the longest developmental period of our lives. So we need more information, and we need more voices. And so when I came across information about optimism, which, you know, that's my platform, I don't even want to say it's my platform. I think it's more authentic to say that's who I am. I am, you know, it is me. I'm optimistic. And so when all the research and all the information and all that started to line up with who I am, I knew that, you know, I was going to take on that that mission to empower others to understand the healing benefits of and the healing powers of optimism. And my father passed away in 2000, and he passed away from complications of a heart attack. And so that was about the time where I was, you know, in midlife also. And so at the same time I was asking those questions of who am I and what's my life all about, I was also faced with a real awareness that I had an incredible fear of death. But I, you know, my father had just passed away. I lost him suddenly. That was very difficult. I was in a lot of transition. And so that spun itself into a whole new opportunity for awareness where I realized Optimistic Hearts of America, which is a campaign I developed, especially for women in midlife, about the healing benefits of optimism for reducing the risk of death from heart disease and other chronic illnesses. But that was born from that experience of loss with my father. So I have a real emotional connection and passion, purpose. It's all wrapped up into one, and that one is me, who I am. To bring it all full circle, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. Perfect. Yeah. So you call yourself America's Optimist Coach. How did that come all about?
Well, basically what I just said, it really, you know, I wanted to be true to who I am. And when I was, you know, I knew that I enjoyed working with midlife population, especially because of wanting to reach out to an audience of listeners and people that were hungry for a message that just really isn't out there. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to empower, but then I thought, how do you empower and inspire if you're not really looking inside to who you really are as a person?
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I sat back and said, I think I am truly, I don't even think, I'm truly the most optimistic person I know. So that's how I, you know, reasoned it at the time. And so I went with that. I said, that's the essence of me. So that's what I need to do. And my vision has always been bigger, you know, of reach out to America. Don't put up a boundary. And so I've even expanded that, you know, it's more of a global message. It's not even, you know, there are no walls and boundaries where this message is concerned. It's everyone needs to hear the message. So I am really seeking to, you know, transcend borders. But it came from, again, that sense of I want to be true to who I am, because if I'm out in the, you know, the larger circles and I'm speaking, if it's not coming from my heart and it's not coming from that alignment with who I am, then my message is, for me, it just doesn't work that way. I need to stay in alignment with who I am. So
good.
That's where it essentially came through. And also, I will tell you that when I was younger, I was, oh gosh, 9th, 10th grade, something like that. Every day we drove to school, an hour to school and an hour back to my home. And every day I saw a billboard with the letters PACE. And it just big, big, big bold letters. And underneath it was written, positive attitudes change everything.
Hmm.
So every day for, I don't know, a year or more, that sign ushered me into town and ushered me out. And so I think it just, you know, it embedded itself into the fibers of my being, because I reference that a lot, actually, the PACE acronym. I think that's a really nice acronym.
It is.
Yeah.
So you know, you believe that optimism is, you know, an energy that is inside of us and it has the power to heal. Talk more about that. Tell us more about what that is for you.
Well, I think that, you know, when we talk about, again, the essence of who we are and our energy, I mean, we all are just, we're energy. So when we start to look at those innermost thoughts, and we start to take in our surroundings and our environment and the relationships that we have, and, you know, realize that there's a need for change. And change is so, it's difficult, you know. Anything that we get accustomed to doing or having in our life is hard to let go of. So we're all energy, and we attract everything that we resonate with. So if, you know, we've focus on being stuck and not focusing on that forward focus, I call it, where I consider it a shifting from a problem mindset to a solution mindset, where we're looking forward, not clinging to the past, not attaching to the negative thoughts, and really staring down the those automatic thoughts. I call it eyes wide shut when we're moving about, you know, course of our day, course of the evening, and we're stuck in an automatic thought process of, you know, things come up and we need to take a look at that. And that's what helps us to move forward. And when we start to look at these things and build negative circumstances, negative events, negative thoughts, if we build those into a positive foundation for our lives, it is amazing how we can, harness a new energy, a stronger ability to, move forward, create change, attract new experiences and a new awareness into our lives. It's more like it elevates our state of consciousness, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. There's a lot of people that get really caught up in, having life live them, and they're not being that aware. They're not, understanding that, they're focusing on the problems, that they're not, looking for solutions. They're not having a forward motion, that they're, either stuck in the past, or they're worrying about the future, or they're in their stories. You know, what do you recommend? How do you help these people?
Well, it is a process, and we know that pessimism is learned, and we also know that optimism can be learned as well. And it, just like you said, there's that feeling of lack of control, and that sense of helplessness, and that's exactly what pessimism is all about. And so we have to start with a choice, number one, and making a choice of free will to say, I'm ready to look at things differently, and I'm ready to look at negative thoughts, those patterns of those self-belief patterns, negative self-beliefs and things, and look at those and start to reframe those, tear those down a little bit, but also remembering that our goal isn't to tear them down and tear them away for good, that they pop back up, but it's how we interpret a situation and then our response to it. You may often hear me say that when you live with optimism, you act deliberately versus react helplessly, and so that we're trying to rid ourselves of that sense of despair and that helplessness by looking at the negative thoughts and saying, okay, how can I dispute that? What is it about that I can challenge? And that's really where it begins. And again, awareness. Awareness is a huge piece of this, because you can't really move forward until you're aware of what those negative thoughts are, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's summoning those up. And one of the things we do is we look for the three P's of pessimism: taking a situation personally, viewing it as pervasive, and then thinking of it as permanent. And that's, when we can start to challenge those three P's of pessimism, and then we start to, that's where we're disputing those negative beliefs. And those negative beliefs are significant blocks to optimism. And one other, a great acronym that I have, when I was going through midlife and I was really struggling, I likened that period of my life to an unraveling. And so I think of, if you think of the ends of a rope, and you know how they fray out,
mm-hmm.
and that's kind of the unraveling. And so the acronym TIE, and I think of the edges, ends of that rope, tying up the unraveling ends of the rope. And so whenever I'm in a situation where I feel like I'm unraveling, I think of TIE, and that acronym is T, that setbacks are temporary. I, it's an isolated incident. And E, it's worthy of effort to move through this and get to the other side. And so I summon that right up. I immediately think of my TIE acronym, and it, it's temporary, it's isolated, and I'm moving on. So that's something that maybe your listeners can, also just put that in your back pocket and think, okay, how can I tie up the loose ends today? And that's a good way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just just one, but also summoning up gratitude and appreciation. You know, that's a sort of a spiritual component here that we can talk about, because that helps us to, you know, being in that state of gratitude keeps us grounded in the here and now. And I'm a big fan of being in the moment, and I'm sure you are too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that again, that awareness, being looking at your life from context versus content, you know, that bigger picture.
I don't know
if you saw my post on Facebook yesterday, but I was, well, the last 2 days, I was commenting on how beautiful the moon was.
Mm.
I don't know if you got to see it.
Definitely, it's beautiful. It was incredible.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was just magnificent. And, you know, just to be, that's kind of the, you know, take it out, taking the bigger picture, you know?
Hmm.
So,
yeah.
Anyway, I know I kind of veered off course on that question, but you know, sometimes we just have to let ourselves ramble and roll with it, right?
Absolutely. That's what makes all of life interesting.
Oh, it is. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So
what would you say about optimism that you feel is misunderstood?
I think that a lot of times I think it gets glossed over, in a sense that optimism is, it's not just looking at the glass is half full, and it's not just the, you know, the rose-colored glasses, that we are aware of challenges. When you're optimistic, you are very aware of challenges, and we're also aware that, you know, negative things come up, and that we won't necessarily get everything that we desire in this life, but any optimist knows that any situation has the potential of being made better, and there, you know, we look for the positive outcomes, and that's basically our goal, is, you know, to look for the quote-unquote good outcomes, and it doesn't necessarily take seeing that outcome to believe that it can actually manifest. So I often say that this is like having an infallible trust. You know, it's that vision to see that there is a better way, or there's a way to persevere and plug through, and also be forgiving of mm-hmm. self and others. But it's our, you know, that is our subjective experience in life, and to have that understanding that that it's an attitude, it's a belief, it's not, again, simply looking at the world through rose-colored glasses. It is a belief system, and the key to optimism is an ability to approach those, I call them perceived problems, because what you might consider a problem, I might not,
mm-hmm.
and vice versa. So whenever I say problems, I try very, very much to put perceived in front of it. But going back to what I was saying, the key to optimism is, it really is an ability to approach those perceived problems with the expectation that good comes from, you know, any challenging or negative information. So it's our optimism that inspires us to deal with that negative information or perceived negative information or whatever, and then build it again into that positive foundation. And we don't use denial as, you know, a coping mechanism. Where we, that's definitely more associated with pessimism. So, and then, you know, that can spiral down to depression or alcohol use or other ways, you know, not being able to function maximally in relationships or at home or whatever. So it really is that's the beauty of optimism. It's it allows us to harness the energy to persevere through it, because we can't go around things and we can't slide under them. They rear back up.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things that we're trying to do is inspire looking at it, going through that fire, so to speak, and getting to the other, you know, the other side. And, you know, you asked earlier if things that we could do, you know, journaling is a great way to examine those fears and negative beliefs and start looking to those fears and, you know, and understanding them. But it's our way of dealing with them. And I kind of like the sound of, you know, dealing with them, you know, kind of a, you know, getting into that flow of mm-hmm. of dealing with what's, you know, happening in the moment. And one of the, you know, we have the ABCDE approach, which that's, again, going back, it's the look at the adversity that you're facing now and what is troubling you and what is it that you just can't seem to get past right now. And that is a process that entails acknowledging those negative beliefs and understanding the consequences of them and then disputing them on a consistent basis. This takes practice, but, you know, it's that's definitely a big key of this, but it, you know, it's important to know that, you know, it takes a little bit of work, but it's so worth the effort.
Right. Can you give an example of how that would fit in, like how... when somebody is dealing with something, if they were to take that ABC approach, what that would look like?
Sure. So let's see. If you're, let's take, I'm trying to think of an example, job.
Okay.
You know, someone has a job that they've just, say they're looking for a new job and they're unable to find a new job. So they start to, that would be the adversity. I'm looking for a new job and I'm unable to find one. So then the belief would be I'm not skilled to find a new job. I've lost, this is my second interview and I haven't been considered for the position, so I'm not, you know, I'm not a good candidate anyway. You know, what are those beliefs that you have, and then what are the consequences of those beliefs? So if you're believing that, you know, you've been through two interviews and you're unable to you know, land a job, even though you've been through two, the consequences, you're not looking as hard. And, you know, the effort is kind of waning off. And then depression, you know, a mild depression starts to set in. And then, you know, different things are spinning out of control because of the belief. And so then you start to dispute the beliefs. If you've been in two interviews and you are, you know, there's a sense initially that being through two interviews, I'm not able to, you know, I haven't been called back for the jobs. I must not be a good candidate. I must not be a good worker. So the dispute is you bring incredible integrity to whatever it is that you do just by virtue of who you are. And you know, the pool of candidates is so much greater now.
Hmm.
Perhaps perhaps there are others that had stronger skills, but not skills that diminish the quality of your skills. And so we start to dispute, and as we dispute those negative beliefs, there's an energy. You know, you feel energized. You start to gain momentum back. So it's a real whole process of going through the ABCDE approach, but it's a wonderful technique. Comes through positive psychology, and it really is incredibly helpful for, again, staring down whatever it is that is embedded, and those belief systems that or those thoughts that come up, we start to tear them down in terms of looking for the dispute, or looking for the things that we can challenge them with,
mm-hmm.
and it's a reframing of a new way of looking at the situation, and that gives you a boost of okay, this is a new way to see it. Okay, I can do this. I can look at this differently, and that's empowering for people.
Mm-hmm.
Did that help?
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's I think we dispute a lot more than we realize.
Definitely.
You know, on a daily basis.
Definitely. So you talk about, you know, optimism being a belief system, and you sort of talked about the rose-colored glasses, but it's not simply the emotion of being happy. What else can you tell us about to understand optimism from a spiritual perspective?
Well, it really isn't just being, you know, as I said, it's not just being happy. It's, you know, I can give you an example of I had a brief unscheduled call with a client right before the show, and she was sharing with me that her employer was doing some restructuring, kind of staying with that job theme right now. And it meant that she would either be fired or reapply for her job or take a significant cut in salary and lose, you know, responsibilities and title and whatnot. And I believe even the possibility of a severance package. But my client and I discussed, you know, what resonated with her first. And what's interesting that, you know, a month ago, she would have been caught up in the inner dialogue of, I can't believe this happened to me. I can't believe they totally disregarded, you know, my time, my commitment, everything I've given the company, and for not even a thank you or a pat on the back. And now they've just kind of thrown this on the table at me. But instead, she was looking at this as a wide open opportunity. She wanted to explore every possibility as if a door was being opened for her, and she started to think, this is an opportunity to really consider a path that would align with her, a more authentic version, you know, of herself. And she's, you know, as a result of our working together, she was really in a whole different space when this monumental experience, you know, this circumstance came rushing in. And, you know, she said in this economy, she still felt that this was the best thing that ever happened to her. And,
nice.
You know, it was a release from feeling attachment to stuff and more of a centeredness from the inside. And, you know, she harnessed her optimism, and she really took control of, you know, from a position of, I call it, you know, a power, and a sense of control, and in the face of her own adversity, she was calm about her reaction and had greater clarity, and was really excited about envisioning possibilities for the future. And remember, we don't have to see if they'll manifest or how they would manifest, but just, she was looking at her life through a completely different lens, and certainly an optimistic lens. So that was something I thought I would share with you, because that just happened, like I said, just prior to talking.
Yeah, wow. And that's, you know, that is powerful. I think, you know, when I think about the emotion of being happy, often, you know, happiness seems to come from outside of us, and
yeah.
We seem to be, you know, it's all the conditions we put on things or our life in trying to control it to make us happy. And, you know, usually those are all things that are outside of us, and, you know, circumstances or conditions have to be met so that that will occur. And, you know, when you said, you know, she's sort of taking control, I like to call it taking charge, because I really don't feel we ever have control of our life. We're in charge of our emotions. We're in charge of how we react. But, you know, control, it's one of those words.
And maybe personal power.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, that's, and I use that a lot. So I guess that's, and I'm glad you brought
definitions.
That up, because I think that's really a better way to describe what she was going through and what many go through.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate you bringing that up. And it's she was in a place of more proactive, you know, versus reactive. I mean, that is an amazing example of being proactive versus reactive. I mean, immediately you can see it, can't you?
Oh, yeah. Like, that's not a place that many people can get to in the face of something happening, you know, so unexpectedly, especially with this, you know, economy the way it has been, and, you know, everybody talking about it and everybody worrying about it. And, you know, it sounds, you know, it's an amazing place to be if you can be that, come from that place of power or be empowered and, you know, feel that you do have the choices
mm-hmm.
and opportunities that she's seeing, which is amazing.
Yeah, she really was able to exercise her choice
mm-hmm.
to be, you know, to see it differently. And you're right, it is a choice. It's a choice that we wake up with every day, you know, of how what is my intention. And, you know, when I think of intention, I think of setting that intention and then just letting it be, you know, and trying to release from the desire and attachment to it, just waking up, maybe saying that, stepping that foot onto the floor in the morning, and today is a beautiful day, and beautiful can mean anything. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to mean that the sun is shining. Today is a beautiful day, or today is a powerful day. Today I am in my personal power. Today I walk forward in faith. Today I believe I'm staying in the moment. You know, whatever it is. And sure, these are, you know, these are affirming statements that we're making, but that's a good way to just slip into your day and then just try to call those up every so often. And I don't know if you've noticed on Facebook a lot, when I post, I post be in the here and now. That's where everything's happening. That's where, yeah, and you know that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm preaching to the choir. I don't need to say that, do I?
I mean, it truly is, you know, as much as there's a lot of people talking about it, you know, it truly is the only way you do have any type of charge in your life. I mean, it's the only way we have choices. It's the only way we can come from a place of authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the only way we, you know, we have any type of being in charge of who we are. It really is a place that, although not many people are aware of, I mean, it's really a place that we need to come from. It's a place of mm-hmm. being centered in it, so that we're not being taken off from our past, or, you know, moved into the anxiety of the future, or, you know, into the stories that we have. I mean, it's really our own place of power.
Yes. And it does come down to practice, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's something that we've already, you know, talked about, but it does come down to practice and developing that habit of doing something every single day of your life where you, or doing something every, in those moments where you really, you're very aware of your presence in the here and now. And one of the things that I learned to do is really just notice the chair that I'm sitting in. You know, how does the chair feel against my body? How does my back, you know, how am I situated in this chair? And all of a sudden you're in a self-observation mode. You know, you're kind of outside of, you're harnessing a whole different awareness in the moment, or sometimes if you're sitting next to someone that's kind of squirming in their chair, and say you're in a a crowded room watching a presentation, and the person sitting next to me is fumbling or sitting in their chair or squirming, and I'm taking in the entire room, the sights, the smells, the sounds, the, you know, from, again, that bigger perspective. And it's just another way to practice being aware, you know, taking in that larger scene and what, again, context versus content.
Right.
So,
how does, talk about how you view optimism in relation to the whole, the mind, body, spirit, and how that holistic message of optimism comes through.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the, the fact that I stand up and support my Optimistic Hearts of America, which is, you know, definitely body and health, and how we can use this, what I call the hidden asset, and we can harness this, and we can, you know, it's a new way of thinking and a new perspective, a new self-awareness, and that can help us. And research shows that it can add years to our lives. Women who view aging from an optimistic, very positive mindset add 7.5 years. If they view it as a positive experience, they can add 7.5 years to their lives just because they view it as a positive experience.
Hmm.
And this is what research is showing us. And
and how do we do that?
Everything we've been talking
about. Oh, right.
And
I'm
that's
sorry.
That's why we need Justin and others to help us, right? But it can be done. And there's actually information up on my website where if there were two women that have the same diet and same exercise regimen, but one is optimistic, that one is, I forget, X amount times more likely to live longer, and I forget, it's a pretty significant number than the other woman with, you know, the same regimen. It's just about that mindset, thinking. In any case, research in favor of, reducing the risk of death from heart disease 30%, and various other statistics that are so supportive. And then, you know, it spans into the mind, you know, in terms of what we were talking about, the harnessing a new awareness and what, that new cultivating a new perspective from a higher perspective and a more, again, open perspective of. And then we turn to spirit, and optimism inspires a sense of connectedness, and living a spiritual life is, you know, optimism is so much a part of that. It's, you know, it's a growing sensitivity to that the environment and an awareness of the, you know, the abundance and the goodness that lies in each and every one of us, and that the universe is a kind and loving place. You know, it's a philosophy that views challenge and crisis as opportunities for personal growth and spiritual transformation. And so it's so all-encompassing. And again, I guess that too goes back to why it can be misunderstood in terms of the message that I'm trying to promote, that it really is a holistic, taking the whole of the, you know, into account and not just some of its parts. You know, it really is. One of the things I'm working with now is I'm creating, and it's up on my website now, it's the Global One for Women Network. And
nice.
It's one, O-N-E, is an acronym for Optimistic Network Effect. And so Global One for Women is really an opportunity to create a community where women come together and we are harnessing our optimism and looking at, new self-awareness, and we're able to throw things down on our table, so to speak, to, again, with this community of women, that the challenges and the struggles that we face in midlife and the questions that we have, and why doesn't this make sense to me? Well, let's throw it out on the table and let's all talk about it. And so it's really, when I think of the optimistic network effect, I came up with that because optimism, it inspires kind of a cycle. When we're more optimistic, it inspires success and abundance and attracting prosperity and abundance and success into our lives, and healthy relationships, positive experiences, optimal health and well-being. So it attracts all that. And as a result, then more optimism, is fueled. And it's just kind of a cycle, But when we start to connect with other women and share that energy, then and women and men, I certainly don't mean to discount men on this, but we, when we share that energy, it becomes a network effect, a group consciousness effect, and that ripple is, it spreads far and out across the lands. So that, again, is one of the concepts that I'm working on, is trying to really, again, align with that passion inside of me to get the message out that optimism is your hidden asset. It is powerful beyond measure, and it is, it does take some work, but we can do this, and I can help, and I can at least, if I plant the seed of awareness, I've done my job. If it's just that, and I can help to just, again, cause that ripple effect across the masses, then that's so powerful. It's just one thing that I think kind of just, when I read the research and I thought, why isn't somebody out there shouting from the rooftops with this stuff? And so I think I took that charge and said, I'm passionate about this, and I'm passionate about helping people. And so when I'm out and I'm about talking with people, or if someone even sends me an email, they get every ounce of my attention, because it's so important to, we're all just trying to find our better way, and optimism is a perfect way to make that happen. Hmm.
You also have another program called the Ozone?
Yes, the Ozone. And the Ozone is, we're talking about divine flow, and this again is about you would be familiar with when they say, you're in the zone, or mm-hmm. And it really takes off from Csikszentmihalyi's concept of flow, and so in this program we go through a series of questions. So the Ozone program, I have what's called power circles, and with the power circles we have group coaching calls, and so on these calls we go through the five series of questions that really help to inspire a flow of getting into a, it's a way of being, in the world, trying to harness more of a spiritual connectedness, and staring down some very tough questions, but it's life transforming, and it's all about self-awareness. It's all about many of the things we've been talking about, because it's basically a common thread that runs through all of my work, and it just happens to be that the Ozone program is for that that divine flow concept of my work, and I'm really inspired by it. I wrote about flow in the first book series that I wrote, Marriage Under Construction, and then and I pick up on that in the new book that will be coming out called Identity. Excuse me, and Identity is spelled EYE hyphen Identity. Mm-hmm. And so this new book will be out the first of the year, and I've created a model in this book that I use in my coaching, and I will be also training others to use this coaching model. It's Mind's Identity Guide Certification Program is what I call it, and it has a spiritual undertones to it. Probably even more than undertones. It's really a spiritual through and through, and powerful stuff again. But I wanted to use this model not only one-on-one with my clients, because I find it's a powerful model, but I wanted to create, that larger ripple effect, and I thought, the best way to do that is to help others learn the model and help them to use it with their clients, and it's really, it's quite profound, and again, that book will be out in early, probably mid-January, I would say.
We'll have to have you back, and we'll have to have you do a show on your new book.
And Lori, I promise if I come back, I will make sure that I can get through the phone line no complications. I so apologize for my tardiness today. Unavoidable, but I was optimistic I was going to get through. I can tell you that. I didn't let it ruffle my feathers too much.
So what would you like to end this evening with? What haven't we talked about, or what is the basis of, kind of the work that you...
Well, I think just ending, I want to encourage your listeners that to send... Stop by my website. It's americasoptimismcoach.com, and it's stop by and you can send me an email. You can, of course, there's a free 30-minute laser coaching session offer. There's a
nice.
The new global one for women. You can register there for that and take advantage of just reading and learning some things. But I really try to be accessible. So anything that anyone has any questions about, maybe how do I use that ABCDE technique again, or what does the TIE acronym mean again? Is things like that. Just contact me. I will be more than happy to be as helpful as I can. Or I want to be available to people and answering questions. And I have programs that will be coming up along the way, and teleseminars. Several are available on my website for download, interviews that I've done, and different things. So I truly am inspired by connecting with others, hearing the what's happening, and how we can help to reframe and inspire optimism. And so I just try to make myself as available as possible, and I urge anybody to connect with me on Facebook as well, because I enjoy when others pop on to my wall, and I usually try to stick to posting uplifting messages. That's been my standard issue, because I just like to start people off with a good thought, and often if I'm struggling, I let them know, because we're all human. We go through those days where things just don't seem like they're in alignment. But it's how do we look at this, and how do we reframe it and tackle it to move through it. So in any case, I just want to say thank you so much for allowing me, inviting me to to be a part of your show. I was really, really looking forward to this. And I must tell you, I feel so relaxed. This has just been a wonderful, wonderful experience. And I just I feel very relaxed and comfortable with in chatting with you today.
Well, you know, when we actually met through Facebook, and
yes.
when I saw your picture, I immediately connected with you. So
mm-hmm.
there's some connection that we have. I'm sure we'll do other things, and I'm sure we've got some great future endeavors to pursue together somehow in some way. But you know,
I would absolutely love that, Lori. Mm, I really
good.
Would. I agree about the energy very much.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, if you want to leave with, you know, some positive thought before we go, you've got like about a minute left, but you know, anything to, what is the session like that you usually do? That's a, what did
well,
you call
the,
it?
Well, the session that's online, and I,
laser
the aha,
session,
the aha moment session, I take,
okay.
I'll take you through a test. I call it the aha test. This is a free 30-minute session for you. Laser coaching, and I'll
okay.
take you through the aha test, and then I'll take you through the aha moment experience,
mm-hmm.
and it's very powerful. And you know, I really encourage anyone that's listening that wants to take advantage of just good positive experience, and I promise you it's uplifting. So it's the aha test and the aha moment experience,
nice.
And if you know, for anyone that if you're struggling or feeling stuck at a crossroads and you're wondering which way to go and wondering those questions of who am I, what am I doing, what does my life mean, I've been there and I understand, and I you know, my heart goes out to you, and I encourage you, just reach out, send me an email, and I'll you know, it doesn't, no strings attached or no, you know, no hidden agendas. I really just want to help. So
nice.
I encourage anyone to reach out and shoot me an email or a hello.
Great. Well, Lucy, it has been a pleasure.
Oh,
I've enjoyed this.
It's been a pleasure too. Thank you.
All right. So we will connect soon. Let's talk about doing another one with your book.
I would
and
love it.
All right. And
all right.
We'll connect then.
All right. Thanks so
okay.
much.
Okay.
Okay. Take
Bye.
Care. Bye-bye.
Thank you.